Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Good evening, community. It's a pleasure to be able to reach out to you again and for you to allow us to share a rather long story. A story that takes us to the countryside, to the rural areas, to the place of legends that perhaps we now have to face. So please get comfortable, let yourselves be carried away, and fully immerse yourselves in the setting of the following experience that will most likely give you nightmares tonight. Turn off the lights. You're now listening to Tales of the Night. I have never dared to tell this story to anyone outside my closest circle, but something tells me it's time to share it with the rest of the community. I would like my account to be published anonymously on the podcast. I ask that, if possible, you change the names of the people who appear in it. Although I will share the real ones with you. I grew up on my grandparents' ranch in the state of Guanajuato. As you surely know, in ranches there are always legends and horror stories that people often make up to scare children or simply to entertain themselves. But this, believe me, please, this is more than just a story to pass the time. You see, when I was only a year old, my parents had a serious car accident. While they were recovering, I was left in the care of my maternal grandparents. They were a fundamental part of my childhood, and I will always be grateful for everything they did for my family. To put you in context, next to my grandparents' house, there was a corral where I played every day. The corral was on the main street of the ranch. According to the story, this road once belonged to a very wealthy landowner, who owned all the land where our community eventually formed. At the end of the street there was a gravestone. It wasn't a tomb like we usually place for our dead in Mexico. It was a simple red earth rock. It was so old and worn that you could no longer clearly make out the name or date of death of the person buried there. My grandmother told me that 20 years ago, when they cleaned the street to pave it, they lifted all the other stones to use them as construction material. But no one dared to move the gravestone. In ranches, we have a lot of respect for the dead. We prefer not to interfere with them and simply let them rest in peace. For a long time, no one paid much attention to the gravestone, until my grandfather called his friends and asked them to help him build a fence to protect his property. And without thinking, they moved the gravestone from its place so it wouldn't get in the way during construction. At that time, my mom shared the room with Carolina, her younger sister. My mom has always been very afraid of the paranormal, quite the opposite of my aunt, who is the bravest person I've ever known. She was a very curious girl. At night, she liked to look out the windows. It seemed like she was always looking for someone in the darkness. So she began to see a very tall woman, who was always dressed in black. In addition, she had such long hair that she could even use it as a kind of veil to cover her face. At night, this woman would enter the house, cross the kitchen, and go straight to the last room that was vacant. That room had belonged to my uncle before he went to work on the other side. And here, upon reaching this fragment of the story, I think I should share it just as my mom told it to me. In her own words, from her perspective, so that it is more faithful.
One night, I woke up to go to the bathroom. Since I had to go outside to get there, I looked for Carolina, my sister, to ask her to accompany me. She wasn't in the bed. When my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I could see her walking through the crack in the door. I asked her what she was doing. "I'm waiting for the lady," she replied. At that time, my sister was a girl no more than 6 or 7 years old. I asked her to come back to bed. As always, she obeyed. When she lay down next to me, we heard someone walking, right in front of our door. I was so afraid that I had to hug her to calm myself down. She was completely calm, as if nothing was happening. In the morning, I started covering the windows and plugging the holes in the door. I didn't want my sister to have these kinds of encounters, and much less to normalize the presence of paranormal beings in our lives. I tried to convince her that this was for the best, but she got very angry with me when she saw me covering those holes. "Are you afraid, aren't you?" she asked me while showing me a smile that seemed somewhat macabre to me. I told her yes, that of course I was afraid. "Ever since her gravestone has been in the corral, she comes every night," she told me. I didn't want to know anything else. I didn't understand how a 7-year-old girl could talk about these topics so easily. Much less did I know why the presence of this woman excited her so much. But Carolina wasn't afraid. She kept smiling. She was fascinated, even mocking the fear I was clearly feeling. "She can also see me. And she's aware that I watch her," she told me. "I know because she always covers her face with her hair when she sees me, because she doesn't want to show me her face."
A lot of time passed since this event. My mom and my aunt Carolina grew up and made their lives. During those years, my grandfather and several of his friends died little by little. I was about 5 or 6 years old when my grandfather, unfortunately, passed away. It was a very hard blow for me. I was very used to his presence in my life. He was a beloved and respected man in the town. I swear I've never seen so many people gathered as at his funeral. The house was completely full. Some people who came to give us their condolences even had to wait outside to be able to see us. I was also very saddened to learn of the deaths of his friends, who were good and honorable men, and with whom I had also grown up. I still remember them with great affection, almost as if they had been part of the family. I used to spend my afternoons with my grandfather. I liked to accompany him when he met with his best friends. And I especially remember Don Joaquin and Don Chue. I always called Don Joaquin uncle, even though he didn't share my blood. To me, he was undoubtedly part of the family. We loved him very much. Don Choi was quieter and more distant with people, but he was a good man, and I also appreciated him. After getting married, my Aunt Carolina returned to live with my grandmother so she could look after her during her pregnancy. She stayed in my uncle's room, who was still living in the United States. My aunt tells me that one afternoon after eating, my grandmother and her husband went out to put the animals in the corral, to prevent them from being eaten by coyotes during the night. It was just 6 p.m., but it had already gotten completely dark. Since she had just given birth, she couldn't make much effort, so she stayed to rest. She says that at the window, she saw the silhouette of what she thought was a person who easily stood more than 2 meters tall, very robust. The first thing she thought was to protect her baby. At that moment, my aunt forgot that she had to rest and ran to look for him. From the other side of the door, the heavy breathing of this person, of this being that was out there, could be heard. There was something wild, something animal in the noises it made. Its breathing was similar to the sound horses make when they get agitated. When my aunt looked under the door, she verified that this was definitely not a human being. It had deformed feet. Furthermore, they were the size of a bull's hoof, or a horse's. It seemed that this beast, and that's the only way it can be described, was feeding off her fear. My aunt began screaming at my grandmother with all her might. She begged her to come back, not to leave her alone with her baby. At that moment, the only thing that could be heard was the sounds that animal was making. The room filled with the growling of this demon. A few seconds later, my grandmother's voice was heard in the distance. She was walking with my aunt's husband, and they both looked very calm. Those people moved away to return to the corral they seemed to have come from. My aunt's husband immediately realized that something was not right. And she, very scared, asked them if they hadn't seen the beast. They tried to understand her, to make some sense of the apparent madness she seemed to be telling them, but they couldn't. They didn't understand what she was talking about. At that moment, my aunt began to cry. My family believed her, because we have always had a sensitivity for the paranormal, especially my aunt. My grandmother, who's a very religious Catholic woman, said the demon had surely come to look for the baby, who at that time was not baptized. According to my grandmother, these beings are always in search of easy souls, like unbaptized children. After my cousin was baptized, everything calmed down for a while. Of course, there continued to be paranormal manifestations and presences of spirits in the house. Sometimes we heard noises and some voices, but nothing as serious as what happened to my aunt that night. Let's take a short break before continuing with this story to remind you to subscribe to Night Tales. And if you like this type of episode, give us a thumbs up or a 5-star rating, depending on the platform you're listening to us on. But on any platform, you can subscribe so you don't miss a single new story. Continuing on. One night while everyone was playing poker on the stones and rubble, Don Chui sat on the red earth gravestone. As he was losing, my grandfather and Uncle Joaquin started joking with him. They mocked him until they pushed him past his limit.
"I wish death would come and give me luck," said Don Chui, not really knowing what he was asking for.
He also started saying some bad words. It seems he even insulted the woman who was buried there. And as they say in my town, the fish dies by its mouth. At that moment, it became so deathly cold that they decided it was better to leave. And from here, I want to recount this part from Don Chui's perspective, just as it was told to me.
"I still remember one day heading home. My friend took his path. I was alone, in silence. When I realized I was being followed, I heard the footsteps of someone behind me. From the sound it made, I imagined it was a very thin, little person. At that moment, I thought one should only fear the living and not the dead. So I put my hand on my gun. Now more confident, I began to look for that scoundrel to confront him, but there was no one. It seemed like I was alone. The first thing I thought was of the woman from the gravestone. The fear grew stronger with every step I took. When I got to my house, I went straight to the room I shared with my wife. I got into bed and tried to forget what I had felt. I was just left trying to forget. The next morning, I got up before dawn to feed the horses. I went for the food I had in the pantry. As I carried a plate of food, I heard the crying of a woman. Next to my house, I saw an elderly lady. I've never liked getting involved in things that don't concern me, but I remembered that she was alone. I imagined something had been done to her during the night. I looked out the street door to see if she was okay, but I didn't see anything. I couldn't even find her at her house. When I went for more food for my horses, I heard that crying again. But now, the sound was coming from the corrals across from the lagoon. I crossed myself before continuing to work, and as I took the last batch of feed for the horses, I heard a splash as if someone was swimming in the lagoon. It was 5 moon in the morning. The water had to be freezing at that time. Despite the fear, curiosity was killing me. I entered the stable and through the small window I looked for that woman. I didn't see anyone. Before leaving the stable, I heard her crying again. But this time she said my name. It was the worst I had felt until that moment. I ran out to lock myself in my house. Since the lagoon was right in front of me, I couldn't help but see what was happening. I saw a woman dressed all in white, with dark hair. She was sitting facing the lagoon. For a few minutes I couldn't move. I was frozen. I could do nothing but look at her. She began to rise until she was about 5 meters off the ground. Then I heard her voice. That terrifying, demonic voice. To me, her face was that of a demon. Her skin was pale, grayish. She had completely black eyes. It seemed her teeth were overflowing from her mouth, as if she had no lips. And then I heard her coming for me. That thing wanted to pounce on me, but it was so fast that I barely had time to move. I ran as fast as I could until I reached my room. I slammed the door shut, waking up my poor wife. At that moment, I was already crying. I lay down next to my wife, and she just asked me what was happening. I asked her not to speak. I didn't feel able to tell her everything I had seen. I could only tell her one thing. There's something behind the door. Woman, what's out there is the devil. When I said that last word, we began to hear what sounded like claws scratching the wood of the door, of our bedroom door. My wife could also hear the sound that beast was making. That, at least, told me I wasn't going crazy. For 1 or 2 minutes we heard laughter. Whatever was out there was mocking us, until it decided to leave. We didn't dare tempt fate and stayed locked inside for hours. We didn't leave the room until after 9 in the morning. That same day, I went to look for the town's priest, and he blessed the house and my family. He also took the opportunity to perform a kind of exorcism, and as they say, a holy remedy.
When my grandfather realized it, I was listening to Don Chuy's story. He scolded me and told me to go home. He told me to go inside, asking what I was doing in the street at those hours. Those were grown-up talks. I didn't think much about Don Chuy's story until my sister started having nightmares with a woman also dressed all in white. In her dreams, this woman would follow her through the streets. She was desperate to catch up with her. My sister was always very studious at school. One night, while she was doing her homework, she heard crying in the distance, about 50 meters away. Her entire body became paralyzed. She still couldn't move when she heard that crying again, but getting closer each time. My brother tells me that the room started getting darker. It even started to get cold. Despite it being very hot weather, the first thing she thought was that it was the woman from her dreams. She went to my mom's room to wake us up. That night I had slept with my mom. My sister's face was completely pale. She asked us if we had heard the cries and screams of that woman, but we told her no. Both of us were light sleepers, but truly, we hadn't heard anything. According to my sister, the screams were so loud that they shook the windows. My mom believed her, because as I told you, my family has always been in contact with the paranormal. The next day we went to church. The priest asked us if we had known Don Gustavo and Don Chuy. He was new to the town, and didn't know that Don Gustavo had been our grandfather. "There's something about you, girl, and I have to tell you.
You have the gift of seeing, of hearing, beings that are not earthly, he told my sister. I must warn you that thanks to this gift, you can communicate with angels, with divine beings, but you will also be able to connect with restless souls, and even with what people understand as demons. We remained silent. We simply didn't know what to say. What you're telling me has already happened to someone else, Don Chui. Your grandfather's friend was also face to face with that woman. It's a very strong and very, very evil being. After doing so, apparently the previous priest, the one who had preceded him, had told him everything he knew about that woman. After doing so, the priest asked to speak with us. The priest fell silent for a few moments before telling us that he was not qualified to intervene for the family. He simply gave us his blessing and wished us the best. You could say the house was at peace for a few days. However, that which lurked around us grew stronger. Its presence became closer and closer. I began waking up in the middle of the night. As soon as I opened my eyes, I would see a man standing near my bed, just a few inches away from me. He always wore a hat like the ones men who work in the fields wear. I also saw a little girl. My sister began having nightmares again, with the woman in white. One night she stayed up reading until very late. It was nearly midnight. She got up to get some fresh air. My parents' house is on the outskirts of the ranch. At night we had a beautiful view of the lagoon, and as soon as she opened the curtains, she felt such a strong fear that left her paralyzed. At that moment, she was able to see the lady who appeared in her dreams. Just like Don Chui, my sister witnessed the woman's body slowly rising. The higher it rose, the closer the sound of her laughter became. The woman began to mumble strange things. It seemed she was speaking in some strange language. My sister only managed to understand one phrase.
I'm going to take one.
She ran to find my room to make sure I was okay. And as soon as I saw her, I knew something bad had happened to her. My mom no longer knew what to do. She had no idea how to protect us from so many apparitions. The priest reminded us that he could do nothing more for us. And the only thing he did was give us his blessing again. A couple of days later, the voice of a woman calling me by my name woke me up. At first I thought it was my mom, waking me up because I was late for school. I got up and saw that it was still dark out. I looked at the clock and it was 3 in the morning. At that moment I thought it had all been a dream, so I went back to bed. I tried to fall asleep again, but I couldn't. I heard them shouting my name again. But this time the sound was coming from inside my room. I sat on the edge of the bed and turned on my cell phone's light to look for her. I couldn't see her. I didn't see her, thank God, I didn't see her. When I got back into bed, she spoke to me again. In total, she said my name about 7 times. And the last time, her voice sounded so close, as if she were right next to me. I got out of bed and went to get myself a glass of water in the kitchen. The next day, I told my family what had happened. My sister reminded me of everything the priest had told us. I asked her if a soul could really call you by your name, or if only angels or demons could do that. My mom told us we were crazy and forbid us from continuing to talk about these topics. She told us that to calm us down, we would go look for the priest to come and bless the house. After doing so, the priest asked to speak with us. It wants something, he told us. I don't know exactly what, but it comes looking for it. I feel it. I can sense it. It won't stop until it gets it. For a while, we didn't know anything more about this woman. We thought everything had ended, but unfortunately, she always returns. My sister and I ended up moving to the other side with my uncle. We tried to forget what had happened with that woman. We didn't see her again, but we never stopped experiencing paranormal events in our lives. A couple of years ago, my Aunt Carolina became pregnant again. She also decided to spend this pregnancy and childbirth at my grandmother's house, so as not to be alone. After my aunt gave birth, my grandmother came to visit us in the United States. My aunt stayed on the ranch, taking care of my great-grandfather, who is currently over 90 years old and, due to his age, requires a lot of care. At that time, my cousin was only 2 or 3 months old. They still hadn't baptized him. One night, my aunt woke up to the barking of the dogs. She tried to fall back asleep, thinking it was normal, but she couldn't. She stayed awake for a good while. She heard the dogs again, who seemed increasingly angry each time. It even seemed like they were chasing someone or something. Something that was entering the house.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
The dogs stopped barking. My aunt heard what sounded like an animal climbing on the house. Its claws echoed on the walls. That beast slowly climbed up onto the roof. There. It seemed to join voices. The voices of women laughing in a terrifying way. And amid the laughter, my aunt recognized one voice.
"I'm coming for him,"
it said. It was referring to her baby boy. It was the same demon that years earlier had tried to take her oldest daughter, Ava. That animal began to mock her. It enjoyed the fear and pain it was causing my aunt. At the window, she saw a head that at first seemed human to her, but little by little it began to form into a demonic face, something with red eyes, a pig-like nose, and long, sharp teeth. My aunt looked for the holy water she always kept close by when she was there. She opened the bottle, and that monster growled aggressively and came down from the roof. She heard how the dogs chased it until that beast disappeared into the field. That was the last time that I saw a demon face to face. My aunt rushed to have her son baptized, and fortunately nothing else has happened since. To be honest, I believe that entity is still there, that it hasn't completely left. For now, the gravestone remains in the corral. I feel that the demon, or whatever it is that's on the ranch, remains firm in its decision to take someone from my family. But I hope it can never do that. And may God bless us all. Uriel, thank you for the work you do on the podcast. I truly hope you continue doing this for a long time. And I also have to tell you that, while writing this story, despite being so far away, I had a strange feeling, as if I weren't alone. As if something was watching me. As if something was resisting me telling this story.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today. at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.